بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، ما بعد. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن أول بيت وضع للناس للذي ببكة مباركا وهدى للعالمين، صدق الله العظيم. الحمد لله وذا فضل كرم الله سبحانه وتعالى. We have gathered here again. Last week we discussed pride and its remedies. Alhamdulillah, many people found some of the advices very beneficial. May Allah Ta'ala accept. May Allah help us to continue understanding, realizing what our sicknesses and diseases of the heart are, so that we can make ilaj of these diseases. Since the month of Hajj, or the months of Hajj have commenced, I've decided inshallah tonight we will discuss something on Hajj. We have heard many talks on Hajj, masail of Hajj, fadail of Hajj. But tonight inshallah we will be discussing inshallah the Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is unlike a seminar lecture that we hear. There's no masail that will be discussed. Fadail, alhamdulillah, we all know. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us a tawfiq of making Hajj. Although there's a limited number, there's a quota system. But the desire is when you hear of somebody going for Hajj, you become excited for the person, you become happy, you give him du'as, and there's a longing in the heart also to perform Hajj. So may Allah make it possible for many, many people to go for Hajj inshaAllah. And all those who are going for Hajj, may Allah grant them a Hajj mabrur, a maqbool Hajj inshaAllah. A Hajj free from any difficulties, hardships. Such a Hajj that must become the turning point in their lives. And when they come back like newborn babies, absolutely clean of their sins inshaAllah. I have a kitab written by Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi, in Arabic. There is an Urdu translation also. The translation is done by Maulana Yusuf Lubjani rahmatullahi alayhi. Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned the Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a separate kitab. Many people have written, historians have written, muhaddiseen have written, and there is so much of detail found in the books of history that it's impossible to discuss all this just in one or two lessons or one or two nights or one or two majlises. The Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ulama ask or they pose a question or they discuss how many Hajj did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam perform in his life. There's great difference of opinion. Before the Hijrat, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at least made one Hajj. Some say he made two, some say he made more. But one Hajj he had made before Hijrat. And after Hijrat, he only made one Hajj. This is unanimous. After Hijrat, he only made one Hajj. And that is the Hajj we are going to discuss. And that Hajj is also called Hajjatul Wida' or Wada'. Hajjatul Wida' is known as Hajjatul Kamal, Hajjatul Tamam, Hajjatul Islam. This was Hajjatul Wida, the farewell pilgrimage. Since this was the last Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, therefore it is known as Hajjatul Wida. Because Rasulullah bid farewell to this ummah. And he did not perform a Hajj after this. This took place in the 10th year after the Hijrat, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated from Makkah to Medina. Then in the 10th year after the Hijrat, this is when Rasulullah ﷺ made this Hajj. Then also ulama discuss when did Hajj become fard. Here again, ulama and mu'arrikheen, the historians, they differ. Some say 6th year, some say 9th year. Many have said it was the 9th year. Of course, there's a difference of opinion. In the 9th year, Rasulullah ﷺ had sent Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala for Hajj. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself makes Hajj in the 10th year after the Hijrah. So he announces his intention to go for Hajj. The moment Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes his determination, he makes his intention, And he passes on this message, he makes the announcement that I have made intention to perform Hajj. All those who wish to join me, join. Those Sahaba in Medina immediately got ready. There were Sahaba in Makkah who got ready. Ali radiallahu ta'ala an and Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala an were in Yemen. They got ready with many people from Yemen. Surrounding areas are the tribes around Makkah, Medina. When they got the message, all of them got ready. So it was the 25th of Dhul Qa'dah. 25th of Dhul Qa'dah, it was a Saturday. After Zuhur Salat, Rasulullah performs Zuhur Salat in Medina Munawwara. And all the Sahaba who decided to join Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all had joined Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they leave Medina Munawwara and they're now proceeding towards Makkah. So this is what the ulama have written. Badara Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah made intention for Hajj and he now began those preparations. فَتَجَهَّزُوا لِلْخُرُوجِ مَعَهُ Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala an also prepared. And all those living around, each one got ready. The ulama have written, فَكَانُوا مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ وَعَنْ يَمِينِهِ وَعَنْ شِمَالِهِ مَدَّ الْبَصَرِ There were so many people that you could not count the number of Sahaba, the number of people who joined Rasulullah s.a.w. in front of him, behind him, on the right hand side, left hand side, as far as the eyes could see. Ulama say plus minus between 114 to 124,000 Sahaba joined Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this Hajj. So Rasulullah sallam performs his Zuhur in Medina Munawwara. He delivers a khutbah. And after delivering the khutbah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prepares himself, combs his hair, applies some oil, and then he goes on this journey. They come to a place called Wadi al-Aqiq. Wadi al-Aqiq. Here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an angel comes to him, and the angel tells him, قُلْ عُمْرَ فِي حَجَّةِ In other words, he is directed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make Umrah and Hajj together. So the Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Hajj Qiran. In other words, with one ihram, he made Umrah and Hajj. We have Tamattu Hajj, we have Ifrad Hajj. These are the three types of Hajj. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made Qiran Hajj. He comes to Dhul Hulayfa. Dhul Hulayfa, nowadays we know Miqat Masjid or Abyar Ali. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed his Asr Salat there. Salah Raka'atayn. Two rakas because he's Musafir now. Wabata biha. He spends the night there. The next morning makes Fajr Salat. Then ulama say before Zuhur Salat, around that time, or after Zuhur Salat, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made ghusl for ihram. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, thumma tayyibatu Aisha biyadiha bidharira. She applied some type of itar, which was well known and is well known amongst the Arabs, the Ahlul Hijaz. And she applied this itar on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah then donned his ihram. He makes zuhur salat fa salla zuhra rak'atayn. Imagine Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is performing salat, sahaba with him. You must visualize this entire Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is moving with Sahaba radiallahu anhu majmain. It wasn't so easy with cars that we have today. They mounted on camels or horses. ثم أهل بالحج والعمرة في مصلى. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes the niyat for Hajj and Umrah. وَكَانَ الْإِحْلَالُ بَعْدَ ظُهْرِ. So this ihram that he tied was after dhuhr, or the niyat for ihram was after dhuhr salat.
وَقَالَ اللَّهُمَّ جَعَلْهُ حَجًّا لَا رِيَاءَ فِيهِ وَلَا سُمْعَةَ.
Oh Allah, make it be such a hajj in which there is no show or ostentation. There is no riyah. Imagine Rasulullah SAW, who could be more humble than him? Who could have more taqwa than him? This is a lesson for all those going for hajj. That sometimes when we are going, then pride may come into a person's heart. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam adopted simplicity in this hajj. His mode of transport also, absolutely simple. Mullah Habib Rahman Azmi rahmatullahi alayhi has written a kitab, A'yan al-Hujjaj. In this mentioned just two or three points about this hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he described the saddle back and the cloth that a person puts on the animal when he is traveling. It was torn. Very simple indeed. Oh Allah, make this a hajj, la riya'a fihi wa la sum'ah. And Rasulullah then gave the Sahaba the option to make niyad of course, whichever hajj they intended to make. As they proceed, وَوَلَّدَتْ أَسْمَاءُ مُحَمَّدَ بْنِ أَبِي بَكْرٍ. Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha, this Asma bint Umays radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was originally married to Sayyidina Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala. We had discussed this some time back. Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala was a cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He became shaheed in the battle of Muta. After that, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala gets married to Asma binti Umays radiallahu ta'ala. Now while she on this journey, she was pregnant. The wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family members, especially Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, had joined. Sayyidina Ali was going to Yemen, then he joined them from there. The wives, nine of his wives were present. They also joined in this hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Other sahaba had taken their wives also, like Asma bint Umays radiallahu ta'ala anha. So she gives birth whilst they are now just leaving Dhul Hulayfa. She gives birth. Now what to do? Rasulullah SAW gives her instruction to take ghusl and continue with the ihram and continue. From this many other masail come out. We're not going to discuss the fiqhi masail. Then Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَأَمَرَهُ أَن يَأْمُرَ أَصْحَابَهُ بِرَفْعِ الْأَصْوَاتِ. He tells Rasulullah SAW, they tell the Sahaba to now read that labbaik aloud. Labbaik, Allahumma labbaik. Labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. Inna alhamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk. La sharika laka. When we are traveling, especially those before Hajj, when we are climbing up something, coming down, ascending, descending, walking, labbaik, labbaik. Now it is a journey. It is a journey where you are connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like how salat in sajda, you are so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or in different postures of salat. In Ramadan, we feel the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, hajj is a unique experience. It's a unique experience. A person could have gone hajj since a long time, but still, those pictures of hajj, the experience of hajj, the people who he met, the close relationship he had with his haji bhais, and the ladies with the haji bens. The close relationship, the bond. A person can't forget this. This is a time when a person connects with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and always tell those friends of ours who are going for hajj, and they ask for what nasihat. So see, when it is the day of Arafat, then you will have different bayans that will take place. MashaAllah, you can benefit from those bayans. There will be dua taking place, ijtimai dua, very important. But in the afternoon, there must be a time when you sneak out of your tent. And if a person is going with his wife, then the husband and wife will sneak out of the tent and go somewhere away from everybody else. And under the sky, both must make sincere dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the time when you must cry your heart out and beg from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then of course, then the wife can go on one side, husband goes on one side. Then the person now alone, tawbah, istighfar, cry, beg. That's the time when shaitan is most disgraced. Arafat and Muzdalifah. He takes sand and he throws on his head. He curses himself when he sees that Allah has forgiven so many thousands of hujjaj. So that is the time when a person connects with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So labbaik, Allahumma labbaik. What is labbaik? Oh Allah, me haziru. I am present, oh my Allah. What is it that you want from me, my Allah? I am at your service. Ya Allah, you've got no partners. In Hajj, what do we show? The tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We show the strength of Islam, the unity of Islam, simplicity. Every person in ihram, whether you're the king, whether you're a poor person, whether you're a doctor, lawyer, alim, mufti, whoever you may be, everybody donned in ihram. Everybody doing the same thing. Whether we can understand why we go from Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifah, all this is the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An ashiq has gone crazy in his ishq for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik, innal hamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk. Everything belongs to you. All praise is for you. All the bounties, the kingdom, everything belongs to you. La sharika lak. Oh my Allah, you have no partners. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the sahaba continue. They all ring the labbaik, ring the talbiyah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala were together. They had some of the belongings which the servant of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala was going to bring from Medina Sharif, and he was still coming. So they had the important whatever luggage they had was going to come on a separate camel. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala is awaiting the arrival of his slave. And suddenly he sees his slave coming. But he's got no camel with him. So he asks his slave, what happened? Where is the camel? With my belongings and the belongings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, it got lost. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala became very upset. Not because of his belongings, but the saman, the belongings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, ba'irun wahidun tudilluhu. One camel you can't even look after. Now he is reprimanding his servant. Rasulullah is smiling. And he's saying, see this man in ihram. How is he carrying on? How is he conducting himself? Then immediately he explained to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala not to worry about it. He says, it is beyond your control, beyond my control. He lost the camel. And just then, some sahaba here, or somebody brings some nice food for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So perhaps they had the food on that camel. Rasulullah sallam invites Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala to partake. Some sahaba hear that Rasulullah sallam belongings and the camel was lost. So they come to give this to Rasulullah sallam as a gift. Nabi Akrim says, no, don't worry. Allah has given us what we required. Allah has given us our food, whatever we required. Allah has brought it to us. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the sahaba as they're moving, it is mentioned, wa'atalla ba'iru li safiya. Now these things we may have not heard in any Hajj talk. These are incidents we may have heard like that, not knowing that it was during the safar of the Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha was married to Rasulullah sallam. She was Azwaj al-Mutahharat, Ummahat al-Mu'mineen. As they are traveling, there was one person in charge to drive the camels which were taking the ladies, and one was in charge to spur on the camels which were taking the men. So the person who was taking the ladies, he was making them go a bit fast. Rasulullah ﷺ stops him, reprimands him, and says, take it easy. You've got ladies with you. Just after that, Safiya radiallahu ta'ala, who had mounted a very beautiful camel, suddenly it became very weak. And she could not move along well.
So she began and knelt down. She was unable to move with the rest of them. It became very slow. It became sick. Fabakat, she began to cry. Now imagine the other co-wives, they're all moving with Rasulullah ﷺ. You're lagging behind. They're trying to spur you on to join them. You're still lagging behind. And how terrible you feel. She was a human being. Fabakat, she began to cry. وَجَاءَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is Rasulullah. He comes. When he's informed that Safiya's camel is refusing to move fast, very weak. And she's crying. So he goes, فَجَعَلَ يَمْسَحُ دُمُوعَهَا بِيَدِهِ. With his Mubarak hands, he begins to wipe off the tears that are rolling down Safiya's cheeks. When Rasulullah does this to her, she says, وَجَعَلَتْ تَزْدَادُ بُكَاءً. The Rabi says that she began to cry even more. I remember when I was doing hips, if I didn't know my sabak, I began to cry. The ustad puts his hand on the head, don't worry, try harder, you cry even more then. She began to cry even more. Now Rasulullah is stopping her, don't cry, Safiya, don't worry now, it's nothing to worry about, just carry on with us. But now, فَلَمَّا أَكْثَرَتْ, she's crying even more. زَبَرَهَا وَانْتَهَرَهَا. Then Rasulullah scolded her, reproached her, that it's not good for you to cry now. Nonetheless, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then decided to settle down there. وَأَمَرَ النَّاسِ بِالنُّزُولِ. Told all the Sahaba, we are going to camp here. فَنَزَلُوا. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ يُرِيدُ أَنْ يَنْزِلْ. Originally, he had no intention to stop there. As they said, settled down there, there are tents that are pitched up. They pitch up a tent for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Safiya radiallahu anha feels that I have troubled Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because of me all this is happening. She goes to Aisha radiallahu anha. فَقُلْتُ لَهَا. That you know, O Aisha, لَمْ أَكُنْ أَبِيعُ يَوْمِي مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِشَيْءٍ أَبَدًا. I will never sell my day, and it's my chance to be with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I will never sell this day to any of the other wives. Each wife was so possessive of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were given separate days and turns. It so happened that Safiya's chance to be with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of course in ihram, but she was to be with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was her turn. She goes to Aisha, she says, listen, I am prepared to give you my day. Condition, you make Rasulullah sallam happy regarding me. Put a good word for me, cover up for me, as we say. So says in Aisha radiallahu anha, was very happy. They are getting another chance to be with Rasulullah sallam. She agrees. The next morning, Rasulullah sallam calls Zainab bint Jahash radiallahu anha, who is also another wife of Rasulullah sallam. Now Zainab bint Jahash radiallahu anha is that sahabiya, that Azwaj al-Mutahara, that wife of Rasulullah ﷺ, whose nikah was made in the heavens. And we had discussed that also. I'm just mentioning this for those who do not know. Rasulullah calls, Ya Zainab, why don't you lend, you've got a spare camel, lend the spare camel of yours to your sister Safiya. So she said, I must give my spare camel to a Yahudiya. Safiya radiallahu anha, before accepting, embracing Islam, she was a Jew. She was taken as a captive, she accepted Islam. And then finally she, Allah had instructed Rasulullah to marry her. So Zainab radiallahu anha is saying that I must give my camel to one who was a Jew, to that Yahudiya. فَغَضِبَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ حَيْنَ سَمِعَ ذَلِكَ مِنْهَا. Rasulullah became so upset with Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha. فَهَجَرَهَا. He stopped talking to her. He broke off ties with her. فَلَمْ يُكَلِّمْهَا. He did not speak to her. حَتَّى قَدِيمَ مَكَّةَ. Till he came Makkah, the entire safar, the journey. No talking to Zainab. وَأَيَّامَ مِنَا. Even during Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifa, Rasulullah hasn't talked, not spoken to Zainab. Fi safari, hatta raja' ila al-Madina. Whole Hajj finished, came back to Madina Munawwara. Dhul Hijjah is finished, terminates. Wal Muharram, whole Muharram, وَالصَّفَرْ, whole of Safar in Rabi'ul Awwal, then Rasulullah forgives her. Now this was to make a tarbiyat. She should not have mentioned such a word regarding one who has iman. Look at this. Rasulullah was rahmatul alameen. He would look for excuses to pardon the person. But this was a serious offense. And of course, Zainab radiallahu ta'ala had made tawbah istighfar. Allah had forgiven her. But this is a lesson for us. Allah was pleased with them. They passed the test. We shouldn't get any false ideas and notions. These people were, they had passed the test. They were successful in this world. And the other day I mentioned that although they got the glad tidings and basharat of radiallahu anhum wa radu anhu, that Allah was pleased with them, although they got basharat from Allah, sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, in this world they already got the glad tidings, Allah was pleased with them. And if Allah is pleased with you, you have gained success. Despite that, they still had the fear for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Despite that, they will still continue striving for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Despite that, they would make sure they do everything correct. They did not oppose Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They make islah of the heart. They strive in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala. What a great giant of Islam. When he is passing on, he tells his son, take me and put my place, my face on the ground, on the sand, on the dust. I must pass away in this condition. Umar is nothing. How I wish that all my hasanat can just equal my sayyat, my bad deeds, and just knock off my bad deeds. So Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, right till Rabiul Awwal, Rasulullah had not spoken to her, and then Rasulullah had forgiven her. And of course, then again, Rasulullah was happy with her. So while they're moving also, the other person, his name was Anjasha. There's two explanations regarding this. Anjasha was in charge of moving the camels of the ladies. And when they would travel, then they would, like how we listen to some nasheed, of course, which is jais, not the haram ones. No songs, any Islamic song, any music that is haram. But some nazam, some naat sharif that you are listening to. Naat sharif, which alfaz, the words are correct. And nothing khiraf in deen, in shariat. That we're just talking about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some kalam of some arif, some pious person. There's nothing wrong listening to that. So whilst we're traveling, we listen to qiraat, we listen to naat. Of course, they mustn't be bad. We have the qiraat on and we're busy talking in, on the cell phone and we're busy gossiping and things like that. No. Nonetheless, this person, as they would go, he was singing. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, Ya Anjasha, Ruwaydak. Take it easy. Don't forget, you've got qawarir with you. You've got fragile glasses. You've got glasses with you. Women, their hearts are soft. They are tender. They are fragile. Two meanings. If you're going to go very fast, they will not be able to keep up the pace and they may fall off the camel, they will get injured. And also their hearts are very sensitive. Don't sing in a very sweet voice that they also now begin to think of your voice. This is a lesson for mothers and sisters. Many times it has happened. We go for some naat or some nazam program or somebody sings a nazam. And we become attracted by the voice of the person. Not the words of the what he's reciting. And so many times we want to see what the person looks like. And then we want to just listen to that person all the time to soothe our nafs. This is dangerous. Our mashayikh and ulama, when they talk about naat sharif and kalam and nazam, they're talking about those that connect us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for entertainment. Not for entertainment. Nonetheless, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the sahaba, they come now to Wadi Usfan. Rasulullah asks, Ya Abu Bakr, ayu wadi nahada, which valley is this? Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, Wadi Usfan. لَقَدْ مَرَّ بِهِ هُودٌ وَصَالِحٌ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّلَاةُ السَّلَامُ. Hud alayhi salatu salam and Salih alayhi salatu salam, they had gone past this valley And in fact, it is mentioned that the qabrs are also found in the same area, in Usfan. Suraqa bin Malik, radiallahu ta'ala, if you remember and recall the incident when Rasulullah was making hijrat, and he went into the cave with Abu Bakr Siddiq, radiallahu ta'ala, and the ransom announcement was made, 100 camels, if for the person who catches Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Suraqa bin Malik comes, and as Rasulullah sees him, they make a dua, and suddenly his horse begins to sink into the ground. It happens a few times, and finally he comes and he pleads, that please, don't curse me, and spare my life. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgives him, pardons him. He doesn't accept Islam then, but he promises and he pledges that he will stop others to come in that direction. And in fact, as he was going past, he tells those other mushrikeen who were coming in the direction of Rasulullah, don't worry, I have checked this whole area, there's nobody here. Later on, he accepted Islam, and Rasulullah also prophesies, in fact, at the same time, there'll be a time, O Suraqa, when you'll be given the bangles of the Kisra and the king of Persia. In the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, it happened, and he recalled the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the same Suraqa bin Malik is now going for Hajj with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He asked a question. In Abu Dawood Sharif it is mentioned that, Ya Rasul, اِقْضِ لَنَا قَضَاءَ قَوْمٍ كَأَنَّهُمْ مُلِيدُوا ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمُ كَمَا قَالَ. Ya Rasul, teach us, you have said that خُذُوا عَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ, that learn the rites, R-I-T-E-S, of Hajj. First time they're making Hajj. Now they're watching every movement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directs the attention of the Sahaba to watch him and do exactly what he is doing. So, Suraqa bin Malik, at this point he asked Rasulullah, tell us and teach us this Hajj. Just like a person who will teach a little child in detail, in an easy way, so that he may understand. In a simplified manner. So Rasulullah had then taught them how to make the Hajj. When they come to a place, Sarif, Sarif, seen Rafa. This also was a very unique place. This was a place that Rasulullah SAW, when he made Umrah, Umratul Qada, that before the Hajj, there was Umratul Qada, he married Sayyidina Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha. On their return, they had Walima at the same place, and Allah made it such that Sayyidina Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala passed on at the same spot, Sarif, and she's buried there. And she was the last of the wives of Rasulullah SAW to pass away. Of course, this didn't happen in the Hajj time. But at this Sarif point, Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, suddenly she experienced her menses. Now what to do? So she goes to Rasulullah SAW, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, sends her, go ask Rasulullah what to do now. Rasulullah tells her to make ghusl, and of course, to continue, but she was not allowed to make the Umrah with Rasulullah SAW. She can't make Tawaf, she can't make Safa Marwa. So she went for Hajj. He joined them when they went to Mina, Muzdalifa, Arafat. And after that, she comes to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So after Hajj, Rasulullah said that, now, you have got the reward of both. You've made Hajj and your Umrah. But she was feeling uneasy. She said, Ya Rasulullah, inni ajidu fi nafsi lam atuf bil bayt. You know, I didn't make tawaf of Baytullah with all of you when you made Umrah. I'm feeling that I was left out. So Rasulullah then commanded her brother to take her to Tan'im. Which you know, the Masjid Aisha or Tan'im Masjid. And to don, to wear her ihram and make niyat for ihram there. To make niyat for ihram there. And then she was told to make her tawaf. So this is how we talk about another umrah when we go for umrah. Then you see this, can we make a smaller umrah, short umrah as we call it. Person makes a niyat, he goes to Masjid Tan'im or Masjid Aisha. It's known as Masjid Aisha. Why? Because of this particular incident. So this was after the Hajj, she makes this umrah again. Rasulullah then comes now, he's coming closer and closer towards Makkah Mukarramah. The Sahaba on the way are joining Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They come to a place called Dhi Tiwa, just before, on the doorsteps of Makkah. Rasulullah spends the night there, and on the fourth of Dhul Hijjah. Fourth of Dhul Hijjah, it was a Sunday. In the morning, Rasulullah takes ghusl and then he enters Makkah Mukarramah. Of course, ghusl of Ihram has already taken place. He takes another ghusl now, and it's permissible for a person in Ihram to take another ghusl. وَنَهَضَ إِلَىٰ مَكَّةِ. And now he comes into Makkah with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een, all saying the labbaik, labbaik, Allahumma labbaik. As he sees the Kaaba, he raises his Mubarak hands and he makes dua. Now different duas have been mentioned, but one dua which most of the historians have mentioned and the muhaddithin, Allahumma zid baytaka hada tashreefan wa ta'zeeman wa takreeman wa mahabatan, oh Allah. This house of yours is honored already, but Allah, increase it in honor. Increase it in dignity. Increase it in awe and respect. So this is the dua that Rasulullah made. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered Masjid al-Haram. It was the time of Chash, plus minus 10, 11 o'clock. He moved towards the Kaaba. He makes a dua. لَمَّا دَخَلَ عَمَدَ إِلَى الْبَيْتِ. He went straight to the Kaaba. وَلَمْ يَرْكَعْ تَحِيَّةَ الْمَسْجِدِ. He didn't need to rak'a tahiyyatul masjid, because the tahiyyatul masjid of the Kaaba, of Masjid al-Haram, is to make tawaf. So Rasulullah went, proceeded, and he went towards Hajar Aswad, the black stone. Ulama have mentioned that Rasulullah went to Hajar Aswad, istalamahu min istilam, he kissed the Hajar Aswad. He said, oh, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, and he kissed the Hajar Aswad for a long time. And he is shedding tears, he's making dua, and he's shedding tears. And as he lifts his head up, he sees Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu standing right next to him, also shedding tears. So he says that this is the place, taskubu al-abarat, that this is the place where a person should shed tears. And this is the place where a person should be making dua. Of course, sometimes for us to go ride the Bahadur Aswad, it's very difficult. So ulama say, don't go push and fight. You see people all pushing one another, but nobody is kissing the Hajar Aswad. And especially women folk, the scarf is being pulled out. All this is not jais. Talking about time when you get an opportunity, it's quiet, when you get the chance to make with ease, then of course, you kiss the Hajar Aswad, otherwise you just make istilam. But it is the place where a person makes dua. Rasulullah SAW had already put on his ihram, but now he makes ramal, where he walks with his chest out, but faster in pace. And at the Rukna Yamani, Rasulullah would place his Mubarak hands there. He makes the tawaf. After that, he proceeds to Maqam Ibrahim. He recites the verse, وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى. He recites Surah Al-Salat there. In some riwayat, it mentioned, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ in the first rakat, and قُلْ وَاللَّهُ وَحَدْ in the second rakat. Then ulama have said, after that, he went to the Zamzam, and he drank the Zamzam water, and even poured some zamzam on his head. عاد إلى الحجر. After that, he comes back, he makes istilam. Others say he drank the zamzam. فشرب منها وصب منها على رأسه. Poured some zamzam on his water. ثم رجع. He comes back to Hajar Aswad and he makes istilam again. Then he proceeds now to Safa Marwa. As he goes close to Safa, إِنَّ الصَّفَا وَالْمَرْوَةَ مِنْ شَعَائِرِ اللَّهِ. He cites this verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he says, أَبْدَأُ بِمَا بَدَأَ اللَّهُ بِهِ. Allah commences with Safa, إِنَّ الصَّفَا وَالْمَرْوَةَ. I will also start this sa'i from Safa and go to Marwa. All the Sahaba are proceeding with Rasulullah. So what a beautiful experience it must have been. Rasul climbs Safa. It was not like how it is, it's so easy today. And then he would move towards Marwa. But as there was a decline, Rasulullah then would run, and that's the Milan al-Akhdarain, and then he'll climb again towards Marwa. Again, each place Rasulullah would then face the Baytullah, say Takbir, and he would make dua. He continued, made his 7 rounds of sa'i. Rasulullah himself had taken some animals to be slaughtered. Other Sahaba also, of course, when we go, we don't take our animals from here.
Those Sahaba who do not take the animals, he tells them that now you all can now come out of your ihram. And he tells them to shave off their heads, the men of course. And he, this is a time, and also ulama say in Umrah, in the other Umrah, he made dua, Allahumma ghfir lil muhalliqeen. Those who will make halaq, who will shave completely, oh Allah forgive them, oh Allah you forgive them, Allah forgive them. Then the Sahaba asked, what about those who are not going to shave completely, but trim their head? Then he said, and Allah them also. So it is afdal to shave the head, and that's a fiqhi masala. But Rasulullah did not come out of ihram because he was making a qiran hajj. With the same ihram, he made umrah. Now with the same ihram, after a few days he will make hajj. So he's remained for the next 4 days in Makkah. Of course he was a musafir now, and he made qasar salat. Then on the Thursday on the 8th of the Hijjah, Yawm Tarwiyah, Rasulullah now proceeds towards Mina. Inshallah, we will continue this because again now we've come to Mina, Muzdalifah, Arafat. But this is the Hajj of Rasulullah, and the remaining part of this Hajj is extremely important, where he gives a farewell sermon. Whilst he is in Mina, I will just mention that Surah Wal-Mursalat was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Surah Wal-Mursalat came down as wahi to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was Yawm Tarwiyah. Then of course, inshallah, we'll continue. But next Monday, there won't be any program. We know the Ijtima is taking place in Newcastle. This coming weekend, Saturday, Sunday and Monday, it begins from Zohar time on Saturday. Now this is the Ijtima for KZN. It's everybody's ijtima, of course. The males will go, the women folk requested to make a lot of dua. This ijtima becomes a success. The maqsad of the ijtima is not to go eat and just camp there. There will be talks taking place. The sacrifice of Rasulullah will be discussed. As we mentioned, the hajj of Rasulullah, as we are talking about hajj, how beautiful, what feeling we get, we picture Rasulullah from Sahaba Ikram, how they must have went. Imagine when he must have said Labbaik, when he must have made Islam, when he kissed Hajar Aswad, he is Tawaf. The world has never seen a Hajj greater than the Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like that, Rasulullah made sacrifice for his ummah every single day, he'd make dua. Sahaba became shaheed for our sake. Wives became widows. Little children became yateen, they became orphans. There were times when they had no food to eat. And Rasulullah's main mission and fikr was that this entire ummah be safe from the fire of Jahannam. And this was a genuine worry and concern of Rasulullah. So, we will be reminded about our object in this world, and that we are not going to live in this world forever. And we should detach ourselves from this dunya. We should not become engulfed in only the chasing after the dunya. Of course, what is necessary we will do. But these type of talks will be given so that we may come out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and spend time. And those of us who have not spent time in Jama'at, then we won't understand what is all this all about. Sometimes we look at A, B and C and we just paint a picture on every person. This is not fair, this is not correct. Everybody has weaknesses. Our Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullahi alayhi was the first person to stand up with Haji Baipaja Rahmatullahi Alayhi when he started the work of Tabligh. Maulana told us himself many times, many of you have heard from him also, and he was still a student in school. He said, I didn't know 6 points, nothing. I should stand up, Haji Baipaja Rahmatullahi will tell me. He said, Pachi hun kya manu? I should ask him, what's next? Then Baipaja will give now salat and dhikr like that. Young person. Haji Baipaja Rahmatullah Alayhi was instrumental, there's no doubt about this, in Maulana Alhamdulillah, from his childhood days, everybody see he was extremely pious. There was no doubt about that, his akhlaq, everything. But then he was instrumental in him then going and studying and becoming an alim. The thirst was then generated there. As that Maulana had given sacrifices, he went many places in Tabligh, in our country. So this is not something new. Sometimes it's difficult for us, but this is the test on our nafs. It's easy to listen to a majlis, listen to a bayan. But go door to door, knock on the door, and sometimes nobody wants to listen. And you are chased away. And sometimes when you go really, when you go out of our our comfort zones, you will see people who are battling to even read kalima. There's no lie about this. We have seen people ourselves. People are far away from deen. There's no salat in their life. There's no dhikr in their life. There's no Allah in their life. But you just go and just remind them, just a few words. You're not going to take their food or money or anything. Of course, we've got the ikhlas, their adab, their usul, their principles we have to abide by in tabligh. Now, if we break those principles, then that's our weakness. That's our deficiencies. But Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali, such a great buzurg of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not going to give old bayan on tabligh now. But this is a reminder for us that this is what we all should be doing in our little way. That we connect ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we connect others also to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now imagine you go to a person's house. The man is completely out of deen. No deen in his life at all, nothing. He don't worry about iman, salat, he doesn't know. Maybe he just goes Eid day for Eid namaz. But you spoke to him. Finally he comes to the masjid. He listens. And suddenly there's an inclination for him now to come regularly to the masjid. And this happened not one case, million cases. And he changes his life. Now you may have gone to that area, you went for gush. And perhaps you may not see that person rest of your life. You went to some country, you went there, you went for gush, you spoke to the person. And this happened to him. He changed his life. He grew a beard. Started adorning the sunnat libas. He changed his entire life, he made tawbah, istighfar, he became a five-time namazi, and then his child, he makes his son a hafiz of the Quran, or he makes the son an alim, all the sawab comes to you. That alim starts teaching, so many thousand students benefit, he starts giving waaz and nasihat, billions in the world start benefiting from him. How? You just went and knocked on his door. So inshallah, let us make some time, if you can't go the entire 3 days or 2.5 days, for some time. And let us go with a good niyat, clean heart, not to go look for faults, and we are all full of faults. Nobody hasn't got faults. But go there inshallah and spend the time there, whatever we can. Our mothers and sisters are urged to make dua. There was a lot of rain this weekend, so make dua that everything goes well there. We have seen people ourselves, when we were young, we would go to the ijtima, it became a sabab, a means of us becoming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many ulama, in fact most of the ulama of this country, it was because of this work of Dawud and Tabligh, that then they went overseas and they became ulama. And of course, mashayikh had come to our country, they waaz and nasihat, their efforts. So everybody, it's a collective effort, may Allah ta'ala accept us. Let us try and go and spend some time inshallah. So next week Monday there won't be any majlis. But next week Thursday we'll continue, and if Allah give us tawfiq, the safar or the hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the remaining part, which is very, very inspiring, especially the farewell sermon that Rasulullah gives, inshallah we hope they will continue the Monday thereafter, inshallah. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta.